Harrington, and we're joined now on the stage of the Great Northern Radio Show by the subject of that song, Howard Pitson from Effie, Minnesota, founder of the North Star Rodeo. You got a fan base, Howard. There you go. Well, Howard, I'm really interested. You know, people. I think about Big Fork. A lot of people think about Big Fork, and they think of the big trees and the logging camps and the old days of logging. But it's so fascinating to find that there's a history of ranching and cattle as well. And that's kind of how you came to, you kind of brought that to Big Fork, I guess. How did you get here?
Well, after I got out of the Navy in World War II, I bounced around the western states for about, well, all the way from Saskatchewan to the Mexican border, working at whatever I could get a job at. And in the wintertime, sometimes things get a little slow over there, so I ended up over here in northern Minnesota working in the logging camps. That's back when they had the big camps, bunk houses and the mess halls, the works, you know, back when we cut these trees down with a cross-cut saw and an axe. And the M&O Paper Company had four company camps when I was here. I worked out of Camp 2 out of Big Falls 1 year, and that was the last year they logged with horses, and I was kind of glad to get out on that. But I saw all this grass around. This is green country. When you've been out west and seen a lot of this desert country, I just thought this stuff was going to waste, which it was. And but the people told me that lived here said this grass was no good for cattle, and I really didn't believe it then, and I still don't believe it. This is great cow country. Actually, Minnesota has quite a lively ranching industry. There's ranches scattered all over Minnesota, usually on marginal land. When it's good land, people make tilling, you know, agriculture and right. And the marginal land, and not all of them are real small. Some of them, I know of several that got a friend of mine works one for one and down in Mora, calves out 750 cows. The Cushels have 800 cows, a lot of 200-300 cow operations. Yeah. So and they're separate, salt and peppered all over the state, so yeah. It isn't really one area that's ranching area. So
how'd you get the rodeo here? How'd that happen?
Well, when I lived out west, I caught that rodeo bug. Now, it's hard to explain to people who don't have it, and to those that do have it, I don't have to explain it. But when I came here, I thought it was going to be one of the sacrifices I was going to have to make to live here, and I thought, well, I can sneak back out west once in a while, but I found there was a lot of interest in rodeo here, although most of the people had never seen one. And so we brought rodeo here instead of me going back there. And we built the arena in 1956, the first year I was here, put on the first stampede, and we're still putting it on.
All right. Well, that's great. And any interesting stories from over the years, having all those rodeos?
Well, we've had, it's an open rodeo, so we've had some of the greats and near greats compete here, and along with a lot of working cowboys. It's an open rodeo, so we don't require any kind of a membership in any association. And we get a lot of these small ranchers that have rodeoed and so forth that it's their one excursion of the year, you might say, and they come out and camp out on the rodeo grounds and compete here. And yeah. A lot of them, and some of them still win a little money. And some of the probably the more notable ones was Fred Betcher, who went to the National Finals Rodeo a number of times in the bull riding. I had a lick at the championship, but he never quite made it. He rode his first bull up here when he was 11 years old. And rumor had it that he wanted to come back here and ride his last bull here, but he kind of hung up his bull rope now, so I don't know if that's going to happen. And right now, Brett Stahl is a young cowboy from Detroit Lakes, Minnesota. He's at the national finals right now in the top 15. He rode his first bull up here at Effie. And, of course, then there's Denny Reiners, the most famous one. He won the World's Championship in 1970 and rode here the first few years, and then he got to hitting the big one so he could go for the championship. He was the only cowboy at the 50th annual that was here at the first annual and the 50th annual.
He's the only Minnesotan to win the...
He was the only Minnesota cowboy to ever win a World's Championship, won the 1970 World's Champion Saddlebrook ride.
Yeah. Well, and that's the last weekend in July?
Every year, the last full weekend in July.
Yeah. Well, one of the things that really interested me about you, we were talking, and you kind of get into cowboy poetry a little bit.
Oh, yeah, that's another one of the bad habits I picked up here later.
Now, to be clear, this means you're a cowboy and a poet. That's what it means at the
same
time?
Well, there's no mystique about cowboy poetry. It's just poetry about cowboys and ranchers, usually written by cowboys and ranchers and their wives. And the big one kind of started at Elko, Nevada, there in, a little over 20-some years ago. And it was very popular, so a lot of the people that went there, they went back to their home country and started one of their own or whatever, you know, in the community. And there's about 200 of them in the United States today. And I don't make a career, but I've been to a number of them.
And you brought a cowboy poem with you tonight.
I brought a cowboy poem
tonight. All right. Well, let's hear it, Howard. Howard Pitson, he's going to give us a cowboy poem.
Well, being a cowboy is a kind of a dangerous occupation in the first place. And a number of them had been killed being a cowboy. It's not an everyday possibility, but it is an everyday probability or possibility. And the old-time cowboy songs kind of reflect that. The empty cot in the bunkhouse tonight, Little Joe the Wrangler, when the work's all done this fall. And sometimes it isn't just an accident. Sometimes it's a choice, like the song Utah Carol, where the cowboy gave up his life to save the rancher's daughter. And in our own time, not so many years ago, we had this kind of this very thing happen. A retired rodeo cowboy gave his life to save about a 10-year-old girl. And it didn't happen just the way I wrote it in the poem, but that's the cowboy I had in mind when I wrote Requiem for a Cowboy. He was an old-time cowboy, they say he was a hand. I saw him sitting up there in the third row in the stand. His hair was white as silver. His hat was pulled down low, and he'd come to town to see the hometown rodeo. Through half-closed eyes, he dreamed of all the broncs that he had rode and winced a time or two at the times that he'd been throwed. I slowly ambled over and beside him took a seat and extended him my hand for the two of us to meet. Said his name was Jeff, that he used to ride the broncs, used to be a wild one, made the bars and honky-tonks. But old age crept up on him to where he quit taking all the chances, and now he made his living just working on the ranches. Well, he talked about the old times. I talked about the new. Didn't take me long to figure out that this man was tried and true. They were bucking out the saddle broncs down at the bucking chutes, and they had a big horse in chute two, big horse called Twin Buttes. The cowboy nodded for him, and as Twin Buttes climbed for the sky, left him sitting up there, tried to teach him how to fly. He ran to the end of the arena and turned and started coming back. He was bucking and a-kicking, still trying to shed the pack. Now, Babe had left its mother, as toddlers sometimes do, and had crawled under the arena fence just to see what he could do. And we heard a piercing scream from the mother not nearby. It was like a big bad dream. It was all that I could sigh, but in an instant, Jeff was over the fence and raced out to the child. In an instant, Jeff had raced to the child. It wasn't time to grab and run, so he threw himself upon the child, and in an instant, they were one. The bronc did not have time to dodge. He lit square upon Jeff's back. And even up there in the stand, I heard that awful crack. I rushed into the arena as the cowboys gathered round, and for an awful moment, there was not an earthly sound. We slowly turned him over as the mother softly cried, and it was plain for all to see that Jeff had made his last long ride. The child seemed unhurt. God had saved it for another day, and for that we all gave thanks as we heard the mother pray. Now there are those who wonder why things happen as they do, why some of us are found wanting while others are tried and true. And there are some that say that it's a shame the way that Jeff had had to go, but upon serious reflection, I say it just ain't so. For I'd like to be remembered by both man and God to be half the man that Jeff was when I lay beneath the sod. And when the time comes for me to leave this earthly life behind, and in the place where I'm interred to have some stranger find, that the message on my tombstone would read for me at the end, greater love than this hath no man than he laid down his life for a friend.
Howard Pitson. Cowboy poet. Still doing chores out at his ranch near Effie, still. Probably got more to do yet tonight, probably.